Okay. Sounds like we should have everyone back now. It is truly an honor for me today to have the opportunity to introduce my brother. Really, it doesn't take any introduction. I think each of you definitely know our brother Brickhouse. Really, at this point, I guess I would ask that you would offer up a prayer for our brother, offer up a prayer that he may deliver that message that I have no doubt he's been given by our Lord and Savior. And so with that, I would like to introduce our brother and apostle, Buzz Brickhouse. Hopefully our brother Buzz is on.
Jeff, I'm looking at the readout here, and I think that he may not have hit one. He may not have...
Okay.
I don't see him as being still connected.
Okay. I'll tell you what, I'm going to try to call him.
Hello?
Oh, hi, Buzz.
Why don't you tell me I had to press one?
Sorry about that.
Was that you just trying to call me?
Yeah, I was just going to call you. Sorry about that. Well, I'll start over again. And Buzz, I apologize about that. It is exciting, and we're very appreciative to have you on with us this morning. Really, as I said before, it really requires no introduction. Everyone knows our brother Buzz, and definitely we're glad and excited that we have this chance to hear the message of our Lord and Savior, and definitely as our Lord's and works through our brother. We look forward to this time, and we look forward to always this chance to hear the word of our Lord. And so I'd ask each of you to offer a prayer up for our brother and introduce to you Apostle Buzz Brickhouse.
Good morning. I'm thankful to be here with you. I enjoyed the Sunday school, and I'm glad they're tackling that subject. It's appropriate for the youth. And I'm thankful to be here this morning among the body of Christ. And I wanted to pass on greetings from your brothers and sisters in Kenya and India. Both had text messages from them in the last week, and they sent their love to their brothers and sisters throughout the world. I'm extremely thankful each time that we're able to get together as the body of Christ. In here, I guess it's a month or so ago now, I was... reading one of the scriptures on the body of Christ, and I happened to get on Barnes' notes. Albert Barnes was a writer in the 15th century, I guess, and has a commentary. And he wrote some notes about the one body, and I'd like to read them. This is in reference to Romans 12, which I'm not going to read, but... one body, united together, constituting one society or one people, mutually dependent and having the same great interest of heart, though to be promoted by us according to our special talents and opportunities, as the welfare of the same body is to be promoted in one manner by the feet, even another by the eye. So the welfare of the body of Christ is to be promoted by discharging our duties in our appropriate sphere as God has appointed us. You know, we as members of the body of Christ are united together with and mutually dependent upon each other. And we have to remember that. You know, we have to witness to each other. We have to pray for one another. We have to be on the phone together one with another. We have to attend services one to another and support each other and gain our strength. We're to use our special talents for the welfare of the body. Support it. Another comment, he says, in Christ, one body joined in Christ or connected with him as the head. And the Christians acknowledge him as their head. That is their lawgiver, their counselor, guide, and redeemer, and they are bound to him by especially tender ties of affection, gratitude, and friendship. They are united to him. That is acknowledging him as their common Lord and Savior. He gives us instructions that we're to follow, to treat one another and to esteem others higher than oneself. And, at any rate, the point I'm trying to make is that the body of Christ, we all have responsibilities, one with another, to support each other. We heard several good sermons out in Phoenix, and I like to quote from one for the Phoenix Reunion, and Brother Don McIndoe is talking about the times we live in and the conditions of our society throughout the world. And he brought to light some of the things that result in the destruction of societies and nations. And he referred it to Zephaniah in the third chapter, and talking about the destruction of Jerusalem and the woes upon Jerusalem. And there in the second verse it says, she obeyed not the voice, she received not correction, she trusted not in the Lord, she drew not near to her God. Those things that cause us to be our eternal destruction are the same for individuals or countries or nations or societies, it fits. And we're to obey God. We're to openly receive his correction. We're to place our trust in him. And we're to draw nigh to him. And he'll draw nigh to us, he says. And so we're reminded there of Jerusalem. We're reminded here, who knows what the promises are upon this land, and anybody want a quote from Ether? Is it the decrees of God concerning our land? Who knows what those are? Anybody out there? Hello?
Thinking about it.
Amen, all of you. Ether, first chapter, page 717. And now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land, that it is a land of promise, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God, or they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath shall come upon them. And the fullness of his wrath cometh upon them when they are ripened in iniquity. For behold, this is a land which is choice above all other lands. Wherefore he that doth possess it shall serve God, or shall be swept off, for it is the everlasting decrees of God. And so, this has been a choice land, and it said we're to serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ. We're to serve our brothers and sisters. We're to be aware of our situation in life and be sure that we don't ripen in iniquity. Who'd like to define ripened in iniquity? Jeremiah.
Yeah.
You there?
Yeah.
What does ripened in iniquity mean to you?
Full of sin.
Do you have some connotation, you know, when you hear that? Maybe not. Anybody?
Full of sin.
Can you hear him?
Can you hear me?
Oh.
Hello?
Of course, I don't know those people, but...
Can you hear Jeremiah?
He said, full of sin.
Full of sin. Good. Good. Anybody else? Oh, you know, I heard Brother Jay Mosier preach one. And he compared, he was talking about what is a ripened. He said, I'll compare it to a banana. Anybody getting feedback here?
I'm hearing it.
Okay. A banana, we can eat them green. I've seen them take green bananas and fry them. We can, it then gets yellow, and it starts to ripen, and, you know, they're good. I happen to like them when they're a little firm, when they're really yellow. And then they start getting black marks on them, and they're, you know, they're degrading, and they get even soft. Some people like them like that. And then when they get real soft, and they make bread out of it. Okay? But there is a point in time when the banana gets so bad that you have to throw it away. And that's ripened in iniquity. That, to me, is we all have a little sin. We all, you know, we all are in various stages. But when we get to a point that there's nothing that can be done, you know, that we're so bad or haven't repented, or as a nation I'm talking about, this country or the world, Jerusalem, you know, she didn't obey God. She didn't receive God's word when he tried to correct them, didn't place their trust in God, and didn't draw themselves close to God. They became ripened in iniquity and were destroyed. And so, I hope to bring out that what we can do to be brought back into the favor of God, or to stay in his favor. And I'd like to turn to James, book of James. Giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brethren and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judges another? He tells us, you know, he gives us more grace. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. I thought it was interesting I was reading, don't remember where, but they noted that the word grace, the Strong's tells us that that same word in some occasions is used for the word favor. So, you know, he giveth favor unto the humble. He gives a special blessing unto those that have humbled themselves and draw nigh to him. And he forgives us of our sins and our weaknesses. And so we have a need to gain and stay within his favor or his grace that he might bless us. We're told, and I'd like to turn now to Timothy.
Buzz, can you please give the references that you're reading from? Because I couldn't find the James reference.
James 4.
Okay.
6 through 12.
Thank you.
No, thank you for mentioning it. 1 Timothy. Four. I'm going to read 4 through 16. No, excuse me. 1 Timothy 4:11-16. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So we're to be an example of a believer. We're to live that life in our daily walk in life in charity and spirit and faith and in purity. We're to study. We're to read the Word of God and draw closer to Him and get our support from Him. We're to give attendance to the doctrine of Christ, the plan of salvation, the hope that we have in the resurrection, eternal life. I think they're talking in the 14th verse there, that gift, we're not to neglect the gift that's been given to us by the laying on of hands, the Holy Spirit, the whole gift of the Holy Spirit. We're to use that and call on it to allow it to direct us in our life. Now, I think that takes a purpose. We have to be purposeful in that. You know, sometimes, you know, I find myself, and I imagine everybody, we get so caught up in things. We forget to slow down, take some time, and let the Lord direct us. We're so used to running the game, I guess, that we forget to allow the Lord's Spirit to work with us, to listen to His still small voice, to allow it to work with Him, to come to Him in prayer and quiet meditation and allow Him to direct us in our life. Understand what the correction is so we can place our trust in Him and we can draw ourselves close to Him. He tells us to meditate upon these things. in ourselves. Take heed unto thyself. Continue in the doctrine. Continue in the example of Jesus Christ. And he'll find favor with us. We find a teaching in the Alma, in the 17th chapter of Alma. It's page 441 of the 1990 version of the Book of Mormon. And Alma is talking to his son. And I'm going to pick it up at the end of the 65th verse there, the 17th chapter of Alma. And he had just taught him about the secret combinations, and he's saying, don't teach them that. He said, but at the end of the verse, he says, but teach them an everlasting hatred against sin and iniquity. Preach unto them repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to humble themselves and to be meek and lowly in heart. Teach them to withstand every temptation of the devil with their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to never be weary of good works, to be meek and lowly in heart, for such shall find rest to their souls. Oh, remember, my son, and learn wisdom in thy youth. Yea, learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God, yea, and cry unto God for all thy support. Yea, let all thy doings be unto the Lord, and whithersoever thou goest, let it be in the Lord. Let thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord. Let thy affections of the Lord be placed upon of thy heart be placed upon the Lord forever. Counsel the Lord in all thy doings, and he will direct you for good. Yea, when thou liest down at night, lie down unto the Lord, that he may watch over you in your sleep. And when thou risest in the morning, let your heart be full of thanks unto God. And if you do these things, you shall be lifted up the last day. Draw ourselves nigh. Never be weary of good works. Keep the commandments. Let the Lord be in us and direct us. Let the affections of our heart, those things that are important, and let them be according to the Lord. Let's place, have him as a priority in our life. Taking time to reflect on these things. You know, we're bombarded by the opposite all day long. So the instructions in the scriptures are to take some time for the Lord. Beginning of your day and at the end of the day. Have your thoughts on him throughout the day. Allow him to speak to you. We're given instructions and examples that in the world that are not godly. Might draw us away from God. And we have to be steadfast against that and allow him time and thought in our thinking processes that he is able to work among us and mold us and shape us. And I know we know all that. My purpose is here to remind us and to take some time in our daily activities to allow him to work with us. In the 19th chapter of Alma, in the 71st verse, it's on page 451, said, now the decrees of God are unalterable. Therefore, the way is prepared, that whosoever will may walk therein and be saved. God never changes. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Same promises, same commandments, same doctrines, same forgiveness requires us to be humble and submissive. easy to be entreated. And he's prepared the way for us that we might walk therein and be saved. To follow his example. That unchangeable Jesus Christ. To repent of our sins. To be baptized. To humble ourselves. To give our life to him. To endure. To walk in his footsteps. All the days of our life. That whosoever, we have to have the will and the determination to do that. We have to remember that everything else in the world is drawing us away from him. But it's only through Jesus Christ we can obtain eternal life. And so as we're bombarded by, if we're in school, our teachings in school, or the activities of school, or the different thing in the various cultures in the world, they're the same. Kenya, India, Philippines, it's got the same problems, you know, maybe for a little different problem, but, you know, the same type of things that draw them away. But we have to be, the scriptures say, to be steadfast and immovable. Having a perfect brightness of hope. We can't lose sight of the hope that we have of eternal life. That God has prepared something for us that is beyond our imagination and is so perfect. Well, to live with him eternally, without sin, without sickness, without sorrow, in happiness and joy and peace. And he's prepared the way. And it doesn't change. Each one of us, everyone, is qualified if we have the will, the determination, if we endure, if we're obedient, if we accept the correction, if we place our trust, we draw ourselves nigh unto him. He says we can walk therein and be saved. So I hope that we take that time and acknowledge it. Jerry read scripture I was going to read, but not everybody was there. He read it for opening of Sunday school this morning. And it's the second chapter of Mosiah, page 220. And it starts out there at the 13th verse. Believe in God, believe that he is, and that he created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that he hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that we must repent of your sins, that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourself before God, and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that you do them. If we have the will, that's the doing them. You know, well, God has got that perfect plan. And, you know, this writing of Mosiah happened to be one of my favorite scriptures because it's the simplicity of the whole thing, you know. And we have to have a basic belief in God and that he is. He created all things both in heaven and in earth. We don't have to figure it all out. God's done that for us. You know, we have to acknowledge that he has all wisdom and all power in heaven and in earth. He is in charge. We cannot comprehend everything. We don't know why he did certain things. He did them for our benefit. We have to have continue to repent of our sins and forsake them. Leave them. Drop them. Don't put ourselves in the circumstances that places us, that causes us to sin. Flee from those things. We need to humble ourselves. We need to acknowledge our nothingness in his miraculous power, in the Spirit, and acknowledge that we can do nothing and do nothing without Him, and ask for that forgiveness. And we have to do that daily, because we all fall short. We all sin. So I'm talking to myself just as much as I'm talking to everybody else. In Philippians, in the second chapter of Philippians, I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We're to be like-minded. We're to be of one accord and one mind with Christ, not to do things through strife or vainglory, but in the humbleness and lowliness. So we should walk in our life and compare it to the life of Christ and see if we're living those things that Christ has shown us. You know, the Sermon on the Mount, both in like the 5th, 6th, 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, 5th, 6th, 7th chapter of 3rd Nephi, wonderful sermon, wonderful teachings. We need to read it slowly and just a few of the verses and pick up some of the jewels that are in there to direct us in our life about being humble, submissive, and being meek, and allowing the Lord to direct us. You know, in those short chapters there, it's whole complete doctrine. Even tells us how to pray and what to pray for. I don't think we give enough attendance to those scriptures, and I have to remind myself to go and turn back to them sometimes. Every once in a while, I love to just go and read those. I'm going to turn, though, to 1 Peter in the second chapter. It would help if I get there. No, I think I just gave you the wrong reference. It's, back in Philippians. Let me go to another reference. My note here isn't accurate. Titus, chapter 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged man be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, and charity, and patience. Aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, but given to not given to much wine, teachers of good things. They made the young woman to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, to have control of oneself. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing of good fidelity, that they may adore the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things that we put on in Christ. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that we might he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Instructions for all of us, from the adults to the youth, to the servants, to those around us, to deny ungodliness, to remove ourselves from it, from the worldly lust, to have control of those things that are our natural lusts and desires, to remove from our life the pride and those things that separates us from God. We should live soberly and righteously and godly with His Son on our thoughts and our minds, and as our mentor and as our example, to live right here in this present world and be an example. And he's called us as the body of Christ to be a peculiar people, to walk in ways and be an example for him. I want to turn to the Corinthians. First Corinthians, starting in verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, so that they would hear the word that he sent his servants, and he says this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And that's the role of the Church of Christ, to go out into the world and to preach and to teach these things, that they might hear and that they might believe. Verse 22, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greek foolishness. And we find that in the world today, that's foolishness. But unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world, or to the weaker things of the world, to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. While Christ has been the example for us, we're to acknowledge it, we're to accept the plain, simple things, not try to comprehend them necessarily, but to search those things out in the Scriptures, and prove them to ourselves by the Word of God, and He will bless us. We're to be that way, that minded in our life, to be a peculiar people, to allow ourselves to be led and receive instruction and correction, and to be blessed. Going to go back to Philippians again. And chapter 1, starting in the 27th verse. Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. What does that mean? Somebody like to interpret that for me? Verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ.
Not argumentative or bullying.
Say this. I'm sorry, I didn't hear it. I just put my paper over my phone.
Okay. You should speak with no argumentation, and you should not bully. When you speak with charity and compassion.
Very good. Who is it that said that?
Barbara.
Oh, hi, Barbara. Thank you. Your conversation, you know, to speak is with charity and compassion. Good. I come and see you. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. By example, by our walk in life and our conversation and how we handle ourselves, how we treat others. That's the way to learn to walk as Jesus Christ walked. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me and now here to be in me. We take a stance for Christ. We be that example. There will be those who persecute us. But it's a blessing to us, because we're allowed to suffer for Christ's sake, and he will bless us. I'm going to continue here, second chapter. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, in any comfort of love, in any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, and ye like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. We're to be like that. Let nothing be done in strife or vainglory. Don't, you know, not contentions, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. We're to humble ourselves. We're to put our pride aside. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Be concerned for the needs of those around you, and lift them up, and encourage them. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. We're to serve one another. We're to be like Christ. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We obey the commandments of God. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We're to be mindful, to endure, and to follow the example. We're to work out our own salvation, fear and trembling, lest we fall short and get caught up and follow the pernicious paths of the world and be led to destruction. Personally, men become fully ripened. We ponder these things and meditate on them continually in our life daily. Actually, that, you know, the good reading is, I'm running out of time here, I see that, but in Philippians, at 2nd and 3rd chapter, gives some good reading for us. We're spread out across the country here to take some time and, you know, the rest of the Philippians. Just read a couple of those verses and look at them and compare them to our own personal lives and where we stand and where we are. I'm going to skip to chapter 4. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your request be made known unto God. Pray. Petition him for our needs and for his instruction. Let our moderation be known. We should be tempered in control of those of our lusts and our emotional desires. Rejoicing in the Lord. Verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. God will bless us. Give us these things with beyond our comprehension or our understanding. Give us spiritual strength that we might overcome. Says, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. And the Lord will bless us. To recap, we find that we have a need to trust in God. We have a need to follow the example of Jesus Christ and be like-minded as Him. We have a need to be obedient. We have a need to place our trust. We have a need to seek His will in our life and draw nigh to Him. And He will bless us in grace and His favor, and will direct us in our path, and will lift us up, and we will then and only then be able to endure and obtain the mark of the goal of eternal salvation. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Buzz, and thank you each for taking the time and for being here. I truly believe we've been blessed today. I would, as we close the service, I'm going to ask if Jeremiah would offer the closing prayer for us, and after that, then I will stop the recording.
Sure.
Can we bow our heads?
Dear God, thanks for this nice day. Please help all of us with school and everyone that's working, and thanks for the good service that we had, and please guide us and direct us in our will. And I love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jeremiah.